that we are body, soul and spirit. And it's spirit that we're going to talk about today, he says. Right. Humankind is a trichotomy. God is a trinity. We are not a trinity. We are a trichotomy. We are body, soul and spirit. Or pneuma, psuche or psyche. And soma. Pneuma, spirit, psyche, psuche is soul, and soma is body. And there are a number of Greek words that overlap a little bit, because there aren't a lot of Greek words in the Bible, about 3,500 in our New Testament. And if you think of how many words you might use in a day, I guarantee you it's more than 3,500. So there's a little bit of overlap, but we've been dealing with that as we've gone through. What we've said is we must learn to look after all three. And we talked about the power of the eyes, and we said that exercising self-control over our sex drive and over what we look at is very important in terms of bringing control and help to our body. And we said we also talked about consciousness. And what we said last week about this is that being conscious is the way we experience life. Now, all you have to do is think about that for a second. If you're unconscious, you're not experiencing life, okay? And if anybody drops asleep, then I will point at them today and say, here's an example of someone who is not experiencing life. And what we said is the body is world conscious. The body is driven by the input of the eyes, and that's world conscious. The soul is self-conscious. The self is triggered by all types of things that touch the inner man. The spirit is God conscious. So today we're going to talk about the spirit, not God's spirit. We're going to talk about your spirit and my spirit. Okay. The human spirit is not morally neutral. This is just something we need to just consider briefly. Before salvation, the spirit of a man is bent towards sin. You can read that in Psalm 51 verse 5. And it identifies us as enemies of God. It's the spirit that identifies us as God's enemy. I'm glad that God does not think of me as an enemy. But there was a time when my heart was set against him. And there is no question that God knows exactly what goes on in the heart of a man. So, God, right back in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat of it, you will certainly die. Right, this is where my problem started. Did Adam die?
Not physically.
Well, he definitely didn't die physically. No. Because otherwise, Genesis 2 would have ended with, oh! So what died? His body, his soul, his spirit. Well, of course, I have always been told that your spirit died, and your spirit is dead to God. And I've struggled with this because when I was reading Ephesians 2, which we had read to us today, I'm looking at this and it says all this stuff which is very pointed and very powerful. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You know, Paul's not making this stuff up. You were dead. But what bit of us was dead? Well, I want to suggest to you that the word in this chapter that says that we were dead, it can mean literally dead, which is literally, right? Or it can mean metaphorically dead. Now, I think as evangelical Christians, particularly as Pentecostal, as charismatic Christians, we like everything to be literal. But I thank God that some things in the Bible are not literal. And the next time you read your Bible and you see something which if it's literal, it's very bad news for you, then just think about it, because sometimes things are a metaphor. They're there to help us understand rather than experience. And I would just suggest to you that the thing that really was a problem to me is, how can it be that we are dead spiritually and yet we meet people? I met somebody only in the last week who has got into the occult. He's got into seances and listening to spiritual voices. How can you do that if the part of you that is God conscious, that is the spirit of God conscious, how can that be dead and you get into this stuff? I mean, does the devil have the power to resurrect that part of you? You know, it's got to be that the death that Ephesians 2 talks about is metaphorical. When Adam ate of the fruit, he didn't die physically. I would suggest to you, his spirit didn't die totally, but that it became an actively alienated from God. That it wasn't a passive death. That it wasn't just that something inside him croaked, but that he became alienated from God, which is just as powerful as being told you're dead. Because if you're alienated from God, you are without hope in this world. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus as Lord, in reconciliation with God the Father, how can you have a single hope of anything? Without that, we are lost and we are as good as dead. And so if you actually look up the Greek for this, the word that is used, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in some places that is translated as good as dead. It's the same word. It's just the way it's on the page with the other Greek words around it. And this is simply this. I would suggest to you, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of that tree, they were as good as dead. Now, in God's language, as good as dead has got to be as good as dead. It's got to be as equivalent to. It's got to be active alienation from the Lord. It's a blocked relationship. On her birthday, my mind is driven back to early memories of my wife. We've been married for over 43 years. In the mail, she's got a lovely card from a friend that she knew when she was 13. And there's a photo of her when she was, I might be a little bit older, maybe 14, 15 in this photo. But I look at it and I'm going, oh, this is when I first fell in love with her. And I am glad today there's nothing blocking my relationship with Pauline Redman. I'm really pleased about that, because it takes work. You know, some of us do not wake up and we've got perfect everything. The number of people that have said to me, oh, It was easy for you bringing up four children. They were perfect. Well, what I want to say and what I do say to people are two different things. But what I would probably say is, oh yes, they were perfect. My marriage is perfect. Everything about my life is perfect. I'm speaking by faith, of course, when I say that. But what's really something we have to understand is relationships have to be... What's the word? Nurtured. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry, love, that wasn't your... You didn't get it right today. It's usually, you usually do. I think it's... I know that Karen got it right, but I think we ought to honour Elsie because she does normally. It needs nurturing, doesn't it? And I think what's really important is that our relationship with God is worth everything. Now listen, I can go on about how lovely my wife is all day long until it makes you physically vomit. But what I really want to go on about is my relationship with God. Because God made all of that possible. He approached someone who was as good as dead. Someone whose spirit was alienated from him. I inherited that from Adam. Adam alienated himself from God. And I was born with that. And I want you to know, it was no easier for me than it was for you. But it's been a good journey. I have been walking with God now since I was 8 3/4 years old. And I can tell you now, it's been worth it. People used to come up to me and put their arms on my shoulder when I was 10 and 11 and 12. And they say, oh, poor Stephen. Poor, poor Stephen. They would never say why. Because I knew why. Because I was living with a crazy woman. My father was dead. And we were struggling with all sorts of things. And I was effectively the man of the house by the time I was 8 years old. There would have been no shopping done unless I'd gone and done it. You know, my mother, she never left the house. And there were all types of issues. But I look back on that time now and I say, thank God. You know, God brought me up. My mother tried to drag me up, but my father, God, brought me up. And I am so grateful. As I was singing to Elora this morning in the car park, getting her to sleep, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And that overrode my alienated relationship with him. Christ died releasing his life to a little 8-year-old boy in Ghoul of all places. And that has sustained me. I have lived on that life, not because one thing happened one day and you don't ever have to do anything else again, but because it triggered life in my spirit. It triggered relationship within me. And that has been something that, thanks be to God, I've worked on. And let me tell you, it's still good. It was still good this morning before I left the house. When I arrived here speaking in tongues, it was good here. And you know what? When I've been praising God while I've been pacing around the building, checking that there's not been anybody lost or anything, I can tell you it's still been good. In Christ, we are reconciled to God and therefore have relationship if we choose to develop it. It's not something you get and put in a drawer I have told you on a number of occasions, so here's once more. We got 6 silver-plated toast racks for our wedding presents. 6. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never used a silver-plated toast rack. All of those, they went brown and ugly, and they eventually all went in the bin. We did get a 7th toast rack, which was pottery, and we used that until one day it slipped out of my hand. But you know what? God does not give silver-plated toast racks. He doesn't give you things that you won't use. He gives you opportunities to use his gifts, his blessings, his call on your life, and we just need to take hold of those things. So, the spirit of man is present in man, but non-responsive. It's like a radio that's turned off. Yesterday, I listened to a bit of Radio 4, and there was a very interesting thing came on, and I wanted to stay in the car after I got home in the drive and listen to the end of the programme. But I thought, oh, come on, Stephen, that's just silly. So I went in the house. But of course, I don't have an FM radio in the house anymore. So I couldn't listen to it. And I knew that, which is why I wanted to stay in the car. But it's so important that the radio has to be turned on. We have to be listening for God. We have to be in broadcast with God. We must be able to receive the signal. And this is the promise of God to everyone that calls on his name. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household. So, the human spirit still exists. Every human being still possesses a spirit. It's that God-breathed thing. Remember, in the Bible it says, and God formed Adam from the clay of the ground, and he breathed his pneuma. Oh, sorry, it's his ruach, because it's Hebrew. He breathed his ruach into him. That ruach is pneuma, it's spirit, wind and breath. Very funny that in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it means the same 3 things. The Spirit of God is the breath of God. God actually breathed into Adam. And God actually breathes into you if you'll allow him to come towards you for the kiss of life. So, Romans 5, verse 6 to 11 says this. While we were still helpless, because our radios were switched off, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why is it the right time? I'm going to suggest to you a couple of things. Firstly, it was the time in history that all of a sudden we got up to about 10% of the world was literate. And writing became a bit cheaper because you didn't have to do it onto stone blocks anymore, but you could do it onto papyrus, you know, dried animal skin. And what's amazing is we still have access to some of those first century animal skins today. And thank God for that. But it was at a time when it could be written down. It was a time when we were all able to receive the message that God was giving. So it says, just at the right time, but God proves his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't prove anything by loving nice people. Everybody loves nice people, don't they? You know, when you walk down the street and you see some nice people, you stop and talk to them, don't you? You're glad to see them. Some people, your face breaks into a smile when you see them. But God did not have to do that with us because Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. I thank God today that whereas I do sin from time to time, I am not a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am someone who has been changed by the love of God. And if you believe as I do, then you too are that person. And it's so wonderful that we can be knowing God. So this, how much more then, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if, while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved through his life? So we were enemies. Our spirit was the enemy of God. But now we're reconciled. We don't have to wait for an invite to God's house. We can turn up anytime and we're welcome. In fact, we've got the back door key. We can just walk in. So, we were sinners. We are now reconciled. We have relationship. And the relationship that we are invited to have is almost Eden-like, except it's a bit better. Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day with God. It was a regular date. God came down as the earth started to cool, as the sunshine wasn't quite as intense. God would come down and walk with them and, you know, he'd say to Adam, I've got 7.5 minutes. He would say to Adam, what do you want to call that? And Adam would say, hippopotamus. And God would say to him, bye, that's imaginative. Okay, that's an hippopotamus, Adam. And all of this was great relationship building. But we have got a relationship now like that. We can walk with God. I don't know, but I walk a lot. And when I walk, I'm talking to God. The relationship is spiritual. It's our spirit that knows God. It's our spirit that we relate to God with, and that's very important. So how do we manage that? Well, let me say this to you. Your spirit is under your management. It isn't up to God to do any of this. Do you get me on this? You know, we have free will. God has given you free will. Treasure your spirit. Treasure the opportunity to have a conscious relationship with God. Treasure what it is like. We've been doing it with broken bread today. Treasure what it is like to have a meaningful relationship with Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Father, creator of everything that has been created. So spend time with him. We say commune. What's that mean? It just means spend time. And you say, well, hang on, it's 7:30, it's EastEnders, and I think at 9 o'clock the football might be on. Or you know, we come up with all these things that for some reason we really must do. But can I suggest to you the best thing to do is to spend a bit of time with God. And you don't have to do it for hours upon hours upon hours like your pastor does. No, just give him time. Give him time. Show your interest in the Lord. I am still interested in Pauline Redman after 43.25 years. I am also still interested in God after 59 years. 58 years. Thank you, Sandra. Sandra corrected me. After 58 years, I'm still interested in the Lord. And that interest only grows and benefits from spending time, from chatting. Do you ever chat with God? You know, people have prayer books, and with the best will in the world, if they help you, use them. But for me, I just want to chat with God. And I find that God chats with me. Don't willingly expose your spirit to bad connections. Right. Bad company corrupts good character. You can have the sweetest and the best of characters, but don't hang around with people that will corrupt you. And that is so, so sad. I want you to understand that there are people in our lives that are out to get something. And if we listen to them, they will rob us blind, whether that's physically, mentally, financially, or spiritually. And we all need to understand this. Don't expose your spirit to people who've got a bad spirit. There are some places that you walk in and you feel, ooh. Well, walk out then. You know, don't think, if I stay here, maybe I'll change it. Walk out. So, we're going to pray. And what I want to say to you today is, I've told you about body, I've told you about soul. Sometimes our spirit can get a bit mixed up. We can get a bit mixed up whether it's our soul or our spirit, because things that are not our body are quite difficult to talk about sometimes. For example, my soul is incredibly moved by music sometimes. But actually, my spirit is as well. And sometimes you can therefore say, is that soul, is that spirit? Well, this morning, when we were singing some of those songs, my spirit was joining with my soul and was worshipping Jesus. So you don't have to sort of know exactly what everything is. You just need to make sure everything that you have is focused on concentrating your walk with God. And you know what? It'll be good. So I'm going to pray now. And I want you just to hang on till I finish praying. And you'll see where we go. Father God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you might draw very close to us now and for the rest of the day and the rest of this week and the rest of our lives. We ask you, Father, that our relationship with you, that we should live to foster it and to bless it, and that you indeed will make it into something workable and helpful to us, that we might truly know that God, who is good, is someone that wants to relate to us. And we thank you for the reconciliation you have given us in Christ. We thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, I'm just going to ask you now, for anyone in this room that needs a special touch, a renovation, a reconciliation in a new way, Lord, I just pray for each and every one that you might be close to them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.